Okay, welcome back to Ask Uncle Lee Wednesday. And as per usual, if you've got any questions, anything you want any help with, insight into just another perspective maybe, just drop the question into the comments of any of the Ask Uncle Lee videos and I'll add it to the list. All right, so first of all, let's do an advert this time.
In a world where magic meets reality, embark on a journey of self-discovery and transformation with Lee W. Johnson's personal magical training. Unleash the power within you as you delve into the secrets of ancient wisdom. Lee W. Johnson, a seasoned guide in the realms of magic, invites you to join a transformative experience like no other. This isn't just a course, it's a portal to your own potential. Explore the mysteries of the universe, connect with energies beyond, and learn to harness the forces that shape reality. Whether you're a curious novice or a seasoned practitioner, Lee's personal magical training adapts to your unique journey. From mastering spells to unlocking your intuition, discover the extraordinary in the ordinary. Uncover the secrets of the cosmos and awaken the magic that resides within you. Enroll now in Lee W. Johnson's personal magical training. Embrace the extraordinary. Your magical journey begins here.
All right, just to relate to the advert, I have seven available spots for the personal training. And just to expand on it slightly, there is a particular training that I am taking the students through. Obviously, you can ask any questions you want to during our sessions relating to your own personal practice, but you are going to be going from basically point zero, starting with meditation and working through all the chakras and expanding on different aspects, and is in reference to the Temple of the Horned Serpent, which I have been developing. So it's basically the first degree training that I will take you through and then expand from there. Okay, anyway, so to the questions. Okay, so today we're going to start with this one. I'm just going to try and move myself over. Hang on a sec. So that's, I had to put this at the side so that it was a bit more legible and didn't cover my face because, I don't mind if I cover my face, but some people complain. Oh, I do have my hat on today. I did remember. Okay, so. This is from Eudaimonia. Hi Lee, I hope I'm not hogging question time, but I do have two questions. Definitely not hogging question time. I need the questions for this show to continue, actually. All right, so one, I've heard you mention testing the spirits. Could you expand on that, such as examples of how to do this and ways to verify if the spirit is the one you are seeking? All right, so I have done extensive videos on this particular topic, and I did, if I remember correctly, I did link you to the testing video that I did in the past. So if I didn't, please remind me and I'll drop it into the comments. All right, so let's go on to two then. What is your opinion on using psilocybin or other plant-based hallucinogens during invocation and summoning? I've been using psilocybin for some time before demonology, and it was during a trip that an elemental king reached out to me, starting me on my journey. I don't rely on it exclusively in my work, but for me, there have been a couple of times when I've done it and had the most amazing experiences with daemons. For me, I believe these experiences are real and not imagined. I believe in the case of psilocybin, it does open up the chakras, raises vibration, etc. After all, it has been used for thousands of years by shamans. Anyway, would just love to hear your thoughts on the subject. All right. Yes. Any natural substances, hallucinogenic, entheogens, and such things are majorly used within a variety of paths, not just shamanism. And it is mostly used to reach out to the other world, to the spirit world. Something that Carlos Castaneda actually mentions in his book, well, Don Juan mentions it to Castaneda, is that we use the plant spirits in order to kind of break a barrier. For a lot of people, it is very difficult for us to kind of reach that point where we are kind of extending ourselves beyond to, in order, you know, through to an alternate reality or through to the other world or things like that. And the reason mostly for that is because it's very difficult for us to understand what it is. You know, we like to take control of everything, and to try and understand this concept in the first place is kind of difficult for a lot of people. And therefore trying to kind of get to that understanding, which we can therefore then step over that barrier, make that step towards the other world and reaching the other world, is very difficult. So these entheogens can help to break those barriers down, to help us to actually move there. But at the same time, they should not be relied on. They should not become a crutch, something that we, you know, constantly go to because it worked once, we're now going to go to it every single time. It should just be that kind of like introduction, almost like somebody introducing you to the love of your life type of thing. And then once you've been introduced, then you can start building that relationship yourself. You don't need to keep going to that person and saying, can you introduce me to this person again and again and again? You've been introduced. You know the path, you know the way there. So now you can carry on with that. Of course, a lot of people will still go back to the entheogen in order to speak to the actual plant spirit itself. And that's a different aspect altogether. You know, you may want to get lessons from the actual particular plant spirit, and therefore you will work with the plant, with the spirit of the plant, with the entheogen, in order to do that. Terence McKenna is a great, great source on this. We'll definitely go and read some of Terence McKenna's stuff. In fact, instead of reading his works, his books, I would actually suggest getting the original audios from his lectures that he used to do. They are absolutely fabulous. And actually hearing him talk is a completely profound experience, actually. He's just an amazing man. So definitely go and pick some up, so, you know, try and find some of that. If you are on Everand, previously known as Scribd, the subscription service itself, you'll find some of the original audios on there. You'll probably also find them if you go to Internet Archive, archive.org. You'll most likely find them there as well. I haven't searched for them there because I'm on subscription. I've got a subscription Everand, so I usually go there. But yeah, you'll find them somewhere. Just look for Terence McKenna's lectures. Absolutely fabulous, very knowledgeable guy, amazing, incredible memory. But anyway, so, you know, specifically for DMT, psilocybin, I like to call it psilocybin. I've actually, funny enough, this question comes up now, I actually started microdosing 2 weeks ago now, a week ago. Yeah, it's been 2 weeks now. That's going pretty good. Finding it very, very beneficial. It's a microdose, so it's probably minuscule dosage to what you are describing here. You know, there's no trip or anything like that, but it's definitely helping with creativity, motivation, all such things. Right, so I think that answers your question there. So I'm just going to put myself back to my original spot. Let's just do that. And go on to the next question. All right, so this is from RCBM. Hi Lee. I have a question. Do you have any good ideas on making protections for someone who doesn't believe in magic, witchcraft, but there are several solid signs that someone might have cursed them? Thank you. I did actually, if you watch Into the Wildwood with myself and Kai, I actually asked this question on there because I wanted Kai's opinion on this. Because it can be quite a tricky one. And so, you know, if you don't watch that, I just watching it because I love the show. It's brilliant. We have fun on there, and you know, Kai's opinion is extremely valuable to me. But in answer to this particular question, the answer really boils down to journey and reach out to that person's fetch, familiar, holy guardian angel, higher self, whatever that may be, to try and put it into a nutshell, into basic terms. We all have a spirit. In various traditions, we may talk about various spirits which have been, are attached to us, have been assigned to us at birth, type of thing. And one of those spirits is the holy guardian angel, or the personal daimon, or the fetch mate, or whatever term we're going to use for that particular spirit. Some people may consider that to be a separate spirit from our own soul. Some people consider it to be a part of our soul. I consider it to be kind of in between, a mixture of both, really. But anyway, regardless of that, that's not really what we're talking about here. So we each have this spirit. So go and reach out to that actual spirit. Try and locate it, try and find it, and ask that spirit to give it protection. Something that Kai did mention, which I didn't think of and was very, very important, is that when you do this, you might find that that spirit, whether it is a familiar or a holy guardian angel or whatever it is, that spirit is probably going to appear ill or sickly. Because they are being attacked. So what usually helps is if you do healing work on that spirit themselves, that will then cause the protection to come back into place again. It's just that the guardian spirit is kind of weak at the time, and therefore those attacks are getting through. The negative energies, the astral parasites, all of the stuff that we kind of deal with ourselves as magic users, as witches, that we are aware of. Other people might not be aware of. It doesn't mean that those things do not happen to them. You know, astral parasites don't attach to them or drain them or anything like that. They do. It's just that usually it's viewed as getting ill, getting sick, and therefore they go to the doctor and they strengthen their immune system and all such things, which, you know, has knock-on effects through all the different various bodies. But in our case, we are aware of these things. We work with them, and therefore we know about them. So you'll probably find that that particular entity, spirit, that acts as the guardian, the guardian and the guide, is actually just ill and just sick. And therefore doing healing work will actually help that spirit, and therefore the various energy bodies which are related to the person themselves, and the protection then becomes strong again. So that's definitely one way I would go about that. Something else you can do is give them a talisman. Create a talisman, and it doesn't need to be something obvious. It can be a piece of jewelry that you have just imbued with protective energy and protective aspects, give it to them as a gift, and then they will wear it and they'll be protected. You know, so have a look at it from that perspective and from that point of view, and try and figure something out which will work. Okay, so that one I think is covered. Which is from Yolandi, Yoli T171724. Thank you for responding to my question. I was on a previous one. On some of our old graves, there are small loose marble stones for decoration. A family member claims that after she took one of the marble stones, she had a ghost in her house until she returned it. What are your thoughts on this subject? Yes, I can absolutely believe that. When we're doing graveyard work, we have to kind of bear several things in mind. When you go to the graveyard, there are certain rituals that various people do, again, depending on tradition and path that you're actually following. But it may be in respect to, as you're entering, you give an offering to the actual spirit of the cemetery, of the graveyard itself. We may have various spirits within the graveyard that are attached to the grave sites and to the people buried there. But we also have an overall spirit, ghost, guardian, which is protecting the cemetery or the graveyard itself. And when we're doing spirit work within a graveyard, within a cemetery, we can contact that particular entity, the guardian, and ask for aid in things, ask for help to direct us to particular graves, which we may find useful for our workings and things like that. But when it comes to items within the graveyard, everything is imbued with energy, and this is why we work with graveyard dirt. You know, we take graveyard dirt, but at the same time we give an offering back to the spirits. You know, we don't just haphazardly take graveyard dirt and, you know, walk away and that's it. But a lot of people will take the graveyard dirt, give the offering as an exchange of energy, but that doesn't mean that just the dirt or energy of the spirits is just connected to the dirt. It's connected to everything within that site. So all the stones, all the dirt, the gravestone itself, all items that have been offered, flowers, pictures maybe, all of these things, they get imbued with the energy of the spirit. So if you take something from the grave site and take it home with you, you're going to get a spirit which is attached to that, or a part of the spirit at least. A lot of people do report that when they go home after doing graveyard work, they take something with them. They take, not something with them, not physical object, but a spirit. They take a spirit with them. You know, they get strays. They are often called go home with them. In a lot of cases, what people will do when they are exiting the grave after doing the graveyard work is they will cleanse themselves to rid themselves of any strays, of any particular spirits, before they actually leave. Other people, you know, they're happy to take the strays home with them and just give them some love and attention, and then they come back to the graveyard and do some more graveyard work, and the stray might follow them around. That's fine for some people, but other people who do not do this type of work, that can be quite scary. But what, you know, speaking of particular items, marble stones, decorative stones, decorative, anything which is decorating the grave site itself, and just taking that home with you, that's going to take something, that's definitely going to take an energy home with you. But it's not something we would do if we are working or doing cemetery work, doing graveyard workings. You know, we kind of go in with the respect that we should have for all spirits. And in this case, it's respect for the dead. And therefore, usually what people will do is they will go to a graveyard or a cemetery and they will clean up and fix things. You know, if a loose stone, a gravestone, a piece of decorative stone is loose on a gravestone, for instance, then the person might, doing the cemetery work, might go and actually just fix that for them. You know, it's about cleaning up, about making things nice again for the dead, for the spirits, helping them, instead of, you know, taking things home with you. So that's really what we should be doing in regards to graveyard work, instead of taking things home. All right, so I'm going to do one more question and then I'm going to call it a day. I'll see you next week. But so the question is from Nick Smith Chandler 458. What is your advice with regards to working with both hands? Is there a psychology and practice you have found benefits yourself, perhaps keeping spaces and days separated? Much thanks. It's really kind of basic, just work with both hands. You know, definitely don't keep things separate, because then you're not working with both hands, you're working with one hand on separate occasions. When I wash the dishes, I do it with both hands. I don't, you know, scrub something without holding it and then hold the plate and then not scrub it. I hold the plate and I scrub the plate, or wash the plate, you know. So I'm working with both apps. It's really, really, it really is as simple as that. I don't think we really need to try and define this. We have both hands. We have the black and the white, the good and the evil, the left and the right within us. It's not something, we can't separate one from the other. You know, I have two hands. I'm not going to ignore my left hand because I want to do something with my right hand, or I ignore my right hand because I want to do something with my left hand. I use both hands to do things, to work, to move around on the screen and things like that. So really it's, we have it within us. There is no need to separate one from the other. And there's no particular psychology behind it. It just really is just working with both hands, just bringing them both into use, because there shouldn't be any separation, really. Just really simple as that. I can't really put it any simpler, I don't think, or explain it any other way. Now, I suppose some people might say, oh, you shouldn't work with the right hand because it's X, Y, and Z, and therefore we have to work with the left-hand path. And no, that's dualism. That's bringing dualism into play, and I don't think we should have dualism. We should be bringing all things into balance, into equilibrium, and the only way we can do that is by working with both sides, both hands, both paths, at the same time, you know. And it also doesn't mean that, you said perhaps keeping spaces and days separated. No, not even daytime and nighttime. You know, it's just one of those things. Just work with both at the same time, because that then brings things into balance. You are not bringing things into balance or equilibrium if you are working with one at one particular time or in one particular area, and working with the other at another particular time or another area. That is creating a separation. That is creating an imbalance, and therefore creating a duality. And that's not what we're trying to do. We are trying to bring everything into equilibrium. And the only way we can do that is by bringing it all together. Okay. So, yeah, I think that answers that. I can't really... I'm going to start rambling if I can, going in circles over and over, continuing going round and round and round if I carry on trying to answer that. Okay. All right. So that's it for today. And I'll see you next week for more. Have a good one until then. Cheers. Bye-bye.